Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Cisco Analyst Relations Speaker Series conference call. My name is Nancy, and I will be your coordinator for today. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. We will conduct a question-and-answer session toward the end of this conference. If at any time during the call you require assistance, please press star followed by zero, and an operator will be happy to assist you. I would now like to turn the presentation over to your host for today's call, Ms. Amy Poon. Please proceed.
Greetings, everyone. This is Amy in the Analyst Relations Group, and I would like to welcome you to our speaker series event. Today's topic is Data Center 3.0, Virtual Machine-Aware Networking. We have two speakers today, Paul Vizzone and Omar Sultan. Paul is a Senior Manager, Product Management, working in the Server Access and Virtual Business Unit. He is responsible for planning and bringing to market data center access layer connectivity solutions for servers, both physical and virtual. Paul has more than a decade of experience in the data center and networking space, combining end-user, system engineering, and product management roles. Omar is the solution manager for data center switching for the data center solutions team. He has been at Cisco Systems since 1999, and his current responsibilities focus on marketing and positioning of the Cisco data center switching portfolio. Omar has over 20 years of experience in the IT industry, working for a number of Fortune 500 companies, and also owned his own consultancy. The format of the teleconference will be approximately 40 minutes of presentation, followed by a Q&A answer. Note that a copy of today's presentation was sent to you earlier. Our presenters will be referring to it, and if you don't have a copy, please contact me at apoon@cisco.com. Lastly, please note that we will be sending out a short survey to all participants following the call, and I do wish to thank you in advance for your candid feedback. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Omar.
Thank you, Amy. So let's get things started off. Just in terms of a preface to the rest of the presentation, if you look at our title slide, those of you that have been following Cisco and following our data center story know about a year ago we launched this concept called Data Center 3.0. And the things we're talking about are really the fourth phase of that five-phase program. We've talked about, you know, server networking, storage networking is the first couple of phases. Earlier this year, we announced the concept of Unified Fabric as the third really building block of that vision. What we're doing today is talking about the fourth block of that vision, which is taking all those prior technologies and really start to make them virtual machine aware. And we'll talk a little bit about why we're doing that and what the drivers are, and then I'm going to hand things over to Paul, who will dig into the technology a little deeper. If you go to slide two, you know, we're finding a couple of things. Generally, there's some market research and feedback that, you know, essentially says customers have bought into the concept of server virtualization, and, you know, regardless of the particular flavor or the particular metrics, they all pretty much say the same thing. There is, you know, moderate use of server virtualization today, but we expect a significant uptick in the use, or at least the desire to use server virtualization over the next couple of years. The reason we see this, talking to customers, is really, you know, especially in a softened economy like this, we see customers are seeing server virtualization as a tool that returns, you know, very definite benefits to them in terms of TCO reduction, reducing their server footprint, return on investment for their assets they've already invested in, plus a secondary impact on things like power, cooling, and overall infrastructure sprawl. Now, we've been working with VMware for a couple of years now, and what we've been doing is, you know, extrapolating, you know, where we are today, where we expect to be tomorrow, and where, you know, what down the road looks like. And we started wondering, you know, what are the kind of challenges that we expect to see customers run up against as they look to scale these solutions, and, you know, what can we do as companies to collaborate and start addressing some of these proactively. Now, there are a number of challenges out there, and, you know, our focus on this particular collaboration with VMware has been on server challenges. Now, we continue to see growth. You know, if all customers did was use server virtualization, server consolidation to help them get a handle on costs, you know, that would be significant. What we really see is, you know, them also wanting to use some of the more advanced and sophisticated features of VMware, you know, things like DRS or things like vMotion, which allow, you know, customers to start automating where their VM sits. So it really helps them use virtual machines as a mechanism for managing load and power and cooling and managing SLAs and availability and those kind of things. And if you look at what came out of VMworld last week in terms of the vision that they've espoused for the data center OS and vCloud and those kind of things, you'll see a lot of those are really built around vMotion, and it's a very network-centric vision in that their vision is built around the ability to move virtual machines around the data center, around an extended data, set of data centers. And underneath that, we really need to make sure that there's a network that's in place that can support that, both in terms of performance, availability, those kinds of things, and also in terms of the intelligence to support that kind of movement. So if you move to slide 3, if you look at the state today, we really see 3 major challenges in terms of the intersection of networking and server virtualization. The first one is around the nature of how we build data centers. Now, traditionally, we've built data centers from a physical box perspective, whether it's a server or a switch or a disk array. And the challenge with this is we're now provisioning at a much finer level of detail. We're now provisioning at the virtual machine level, where we now have multiple virtual machines on a physical server. So the first challenge around this is we need to have a finer level of control. We need to be able to apply policy at per VM level. We need to apply security at a per VM level. The second challenge, the second challenge with this is these VMs move around. We talk about vMotion or DRS or HA or those kinds of features. And as these VMs move around, we need to make sure that policy moves around. And both of these, while doable, there's a lot of effort from our customers' perspective in trying to make this doable these days. And our feeling and the feedback from our customers is that things that they're doing today are not really scalable if their VM footprint goes from 10% to, say, 50, 60%. The second challenge, which really draws out of the first, is a lack of visibility for things like troubleshooting, management, regulatory compliance, just operational consistency, those kinds of things. Again, because certainly from a storage or a network perspective, we're dropping these huge trunk ports off to servers. We lose a high degree of visibility as to what traffic's coming from which VM, where is it going. And so when it comes time to things like accounting, troubleshooting, those sorts of things, we burn a lot more cycles trying to manage and troubleshoot that environment than a traditional one physical server, one network port, or one storage port type of environment. There's also a challenge in terms of being able to audit local switching from VM to VM on the local server, because there's, again, not a lot of visibility. The final piece, then, is we see this blurring of organizational roles and responsibilities. We see a lot of server admins moonlighting as network folks or storage folks simply to be able to get things done, to be able to do their jobs. Now, the challenges we know with this is we have folks that are, not really doing what they want to do, but they're doing this out of necessity. And we start to see a breakdown in things like operational best practices, communication, and, again, it becomes a loss of efficiency and a loss of effectiveness on the team. So basically, as we sat back and said, okay, how are we going to solve these problems? These are the 3 major challenges we look to address. If you move to slide 4, you'll see really our goals for this particular launch. I mean, our overall challenge was let's see what we can do to accelerate server virtualization. In doing that, we really looked at 3 major challenges, 3 major goals. The first is to have, enrich our network capability, have a network that's much better aligned and designed to support this virtualized environment. Second, from a practical perspective, we want to be able to put the tools in place to help deploy VMs faster. We wanted to leverage automation. We want to be able to leverage the ability for customers to be able to have a much more agile VM related environment. And finally, we wanted to increase the operational efficiency of the organization. We wanted to put the tools in place to make all this much more manageable and much more scalable from a people perspective. If you move to slide 4, we can look at the specifics of the launch. So we kind of work through technology, services, and education. So from a technology perspective, the tip of the spear is this concept of VNLink. And now VNLink will be a overall wrapper term for all our virtual machine aware network and storage services, and we'll dig into the components of VNLink for the majority of the session. Outside of that, there are a couple of related announcements that all tie into this whole accelerating server virtualization concept. The first is the release of secure 8-bit gigabit fiber channel for our MDS family. So the same way we are seeing VM density on physical servers finally starting to drive a need for 10 gigabit on the LAN side to support the aggregate I/O requirements of all those VMs. On the storage side, we're starting to see the same thing with the desire for a gigabit fiber channel. The second piece, or the third piece of this, which is actually kind of interesting, is we've with these set of announcements, we've taken NX-OS, which we announced at the beginning of the year with our Nexus 5000, 7000, and we've made that the pervasive operating system in our data center. We're pushing NX-OS out into the MDS family, and the soft switch that Paul will be talking about a little bit later is also NX-OS-based. I'll talk a little bit about the implications of that later in the session. To step outside the data center for a second, we've also been working with VMware on VDI acceleration. So we're taking our WAS solution and adapting it specifically to meet the needs of VDI and the virtual desktop infrastructure as a solution to help make that, provide a better user experience and also, improve the deployment scenarios for, increase the deployment scenarios for VDI. As part of that, we've also announced a set of appliances that support the WAS solution that is specifically designed around virtualization. And finally, the last piece from a technology perspective is FCOE support in ESX 3.5, specifically in release U2. We see the convergent network adapters from Emulex, QLogic, and Intel on the hardware compatibility list. So we start to see all the pieces start to come into place to support this. From a services perspective, one of the constant comments we get back from customers is the fact that, hey, I want to use more virtualization in my data center. It sounds very interesting. I'm hearing a lot about it. I'm not so comfortable I have the right skill set or my folks have the right skill set. In support of that, we have worked with VMware to create a couple of professional services that are jointly delivered, jointly sourced across our professional services organization and VMware's. So we have an assessment service, which is very top level for those customers to say, hey, I want to do more virtualization of my servers, of my overall data center infrastructure. What do I do with it? You know, helps analyze their requirements, their infrastructure, and really establishes a path forward for them. The second service is, much more tactical. It takes that plan and then, in greater detail lays out, okay, this is how we, this is what you need to do to take the vision and implement it. The final piece of this is we're taking our, essentially our smart folks from both companies, pooling them together, and starting to publish a set of best practices. The overall goal is to, increase the body of knowledge that's available for partners, for customers, for even our own employees around server virtualization and how to scale this. Now, the one piece I didn't cover is, we're starting with these initial set of services. Our partners are a very big part of this, and the overall intent is to have a very big tent from a services perspective, so there'll be a rich set of services that our customers can draw on, whether they are VMware-sourced or Cisco-sourced or partner-sourced. The idea is, customers feel comfortable that there is a wealth of resources and talent that they can draw on to help them execute on whatever their strategy happens to be. So to that last point, if you look at the education piece of this, long-term, we're looking at upgrading our DCNI channel certification, our channel data center certification with a virtualization component. We're also exploring some sort of virtualization career certification, so like a CCNA or a CCDA type of certification, focused specifically on virtualization. Now, the interesting thing with both of these that we've never done before is these are going to span companies. So traditionally, our certifications, both the channel and career certifications, have been Cisco-specific. They've been focused on Cisco technology. Now the way we're looking at structuring them, they'll be have components or a curriculum that will span both VMware as well as Cisco. In the short term, we're taking a set of virtualization-specific training, e-learning, those sorts of things around server virtualization, FCOE, Unified Fabric, and those kinds of things, and we're adding them to PEC, which is our partner training portal. So in the near term, while we get some of these other things straightened out, there'll be something that customers can do to or partners can do to upgrade their skill set across their bench. Now, moving to slide 6, let's talk a little bit about VNLink. So, you know, VNLink is really about taking, you know, we've done a lot as a company in terms of virtualization over our history. VLANs, vSANs, those sorts of things, you know, we've been selling those and we introduced those for several years now. What we're really doing is taking those things and we're now starting to move them into the into the domain of server virtualization. But, you know, essentially this is acknowledgement of the fact that virtual machines are the new building block in the data center. You know, as we start to build out solution infrastructure, application infrastructure, we're now really starting to build it out with VM-level granularity. So essentially what VNLink is about taking and delivering virtual machine-aware network and storage services. And as you'll see as during the rest of the prezo, we have the 1000Z, which is you know, brand new technology that we're delivering on the network side. And on the storage side, you know, we've actually had some of this stuff. It's kind of been buried, and you know, certainly for the server team, it's not all been all that obvious. So we're taking some of those things, starting to consolidate them, and also we've introduced some new technologies along the way as well. One of the key things to point out about VNLink is the fact that it's, you know, built to abstract the physical and logical infrastructure. We believe this is very important for a couple of reasons. The first being that in reality, data centers by nature are heterogeneous environments. Different platforms, different operating systems, SAN, NAS, you know, tends to be a melange of different infrastructure. So our belief is if we're going to roll out a solution that's truly useful in the enterprise, it needs to be somewhat agnostic. It needs to work across different types of storage. It needs to work across different form factors for servers or different operating systems. You know, and this is one of the things I think VNLink does very well, is regardless of the underlying infrastructure, you can move a virtual machine from one server to another server and back to a third server and not really need to worry about what the underlying infrastructure is. You know, this is critical just within the data center, you know, and the ability to be effectively moving a VM from, say, a blade server to a mainframe to a rack server, especially if it's in the, you know, you're using automated tools like DRS where they're kind of doing their own thing. You want to make sure that, you know, the underlying infrastructure doesn't become an inhibitor. You know, if you look down the road, if you look at things like cloud computing and those sorts of things where you look at moving workloads off, you know, outside of a data center altogether, maybe to a service provider data center where you don't, you know, you're not necessarily clear as to what the infrastructure there might be, you know, then it really becomes mandatory to be able to have a model that'll work across whatever type of infrastructure you might have that might be available. So at this point, let's dig into some details. As I noted earlier, you know, one of the first implementations of this is the Nexus 1000V, which is a software-based switch designed to provide VM-aware network services. So at this point, I'm going to hand things off to Paul, and he's going to take you through a tour of the 1000V. So, Paul, off to you.
Thank you, Omar. Good morning, folks. As Omar was mentioning, VNLink, or Virtual Network Link technology, is something we feel is essential to provide to our customers so that they can manage and operate their virtual network infrastructure in a manner consistent with their physical network infrastructure. And what VNLink literally does is extends the individual interface granularity that customers get today in a physical network environment down to the virtual machine level. And with this link between their virtual machine and their upstream Cisco switch, customers can identify, secure, monitor, and troubleshoot individual virtual machine interfaces with the same operational toolkit level of control and visibility that they have today in their physical environments. So if we flip over to slide 7, we're going to go through some of the features that are enabled by VNLink, and then we'll talk about the products that Cisco is introducing to support those features. As Omar was mentioning, VNLink, we feel, can really help to simplify the way that you deploy, manage, and administer a virtualized environment by bringing the server and the network closer together than ever before and providing the right level of visibility down to the individual virtual machine interfaces. So once that virtual network link is enabled to the individual virtual machines, we can provide three different levels of, or three different buckets of capability, if you will. The first we refer to as policy-based virtual machine connectivity. And this is essentially being delivered through a new feature in our NXOS operating system we call Port Profiles. And it gives us the ability to provide policy-driven network configuration for individual virtual machines as they come onto the network. And this is a kind of a sort of automation, if you will, of mirroring or matching the virtual machine creation in power on with allowing the proper network configuration to be applied to it once it comes onto the network. So these port profiles are defined in the network. They're applied to the virtual machine in Virtual Center by the server administrator using the same tools and models that they do today. And once it's applied to the virtual machine, that port profile or policy is enforced by the network on that specific virtual machine and migrated with the virtual machine as it moves from one server to the next through vMotion or DRS activities to ensure that that virtual machine is always compliant with customer's data center network policy. This feature allows the server and the network administrators to use tools that they already know and extend their existing operational models down to the virtual domain. Now, a policy or the policy that's associated with these virtual machines can include a variety of network features and connectivity options, including VLAN assignment, quality of service settings, rate limiting characteristics. There's a number of security features that we'll be introducing, access control lists, private VLANs will be supported, port security, as well as a number of monitoring options. So things like port mirroring or remote span, NetFlow statistics gathering and export to centralized NetFlow monitors. But those are all the features that are supported or included in the policy-based virtual machine connectivity bucket. The next bucket is the mobility of these policies, of the network and the security properties once they're assigned to a virtual machine. So once a policy is associated with a virtual machine, that virtual machine can move around the specific ESX cluster in which it lives in, and that means it can move from server to server, and on the corresponding physical network infrastructure, this means it's moving from port to port inside of a single switch or across multiple switches. Now, what we have the capability to do is to migrate the actual properties or the configuration of the network interface that's associated with that virtual machine, along with the flow information and state information of that virtual machine from as it moves from server to server. So from an operations perspective, things like counters, things like flow statistics, if you're running any sort of monitoring on that particular VM or doing any sort of traffic capture on that virtual machine, those sessions will persist as the virtual machine moves around the data center, just like you would have in a continuous physical interface on a network switch. Okay. And the third bucket of features that we talk about is a non-disruptive operational model. And this is something that we've worked very closely with VMware on defining and implementing. Through the cooperative development effort we have with VMware, we've established a very tight integration between the platforms inside of Cisco that support VMLink and the VMware's Virtual Center tool. So this allows both the server admins and the network admins to leverage their respective existing toolkits for the management of the different aspects of this virtualized environment, so that they can each continue to use and function within the tools that they know and have expertise working with, but those models can be extended to now support a virtualized environment in a better manner. Okay. Now, if you go to slide 8, we'll quickly talk about the two implementations of the VMLink technology, or the two platforms that VMLink will be supported on, and then we'll go into a little bit more detail on the product we introduced last week at VMworld. So the first is the Nexus 1000. This is a software-based implementation of a Cisco switching platform that supports the VMLink technology. Now, this architecture, the Nexus 1000 architecture, has been developed in a hypervisor agnostic way, but the first platform that it will be supporting is the VMware ESX platform. It is the code itself, and we'll go into some details on the architecture in a minute, but the code itself is actually embedded inside of the ESX hypervisor running at the kernel level. And the Nexus 1000V actually replaces the VMware vSwitch functionality to offer customers the policy mobility and non-disruptive operational model that we talked about earlier on this slide. Also, last week, we introduced a hardware-based implementation of the VNLink capabilities. This is an implementation that Cisco presented at the IEEE meeting in partnership with VMware last week. Cisco and VMware had co-authored a proposal to the IEEE meeting in Seoul, South Korea, to establish the creation of and drive the standardization of hardware-based implementation to support the VNLink capabilities, so that the main difference between the software and the hardware-based solution that we're looking at here is that the hardware-based solution actually extracts the actual switching of the virtual machine, inter-virtual machine traffic that exists inside of one server. It actually extracts the switching of that traffic and the policy enforcement and the monitoring of that traffic to the upstream physical switch, thus offloading the CPU inside of the server of having to handle that that network functionality. So to kind of sum up this slide, Cisco's introducing two complementary models of virtual machine switching to address evolving customer requirements. So you know, the majority of customers today and for the foreseeable future will be deploying VMware ESX in 1 gigabit Ethernet environments, and for those environments, we would position the Nexus 1000V software-based implementation. And as customers start to move towards 10 gigabit Ethernet connectivity options for their server virtualization deployments, we would propose and direct them towards more of the hardware-based implementation that will be supported on our initially on our Nexus 5000 series switch. Okay. So if you look and go dig into a little bit more details, the Nexus 1000V is actually leveraging a new feature that VMware introduced last week called the distributed virtual switch or distributed switch. This is part of VMware's new vNetwork platform, if you will. The distributed switch from VMware was actually developed in conjunction with Cisco, so that we could extend the switch or a logical switch across multiple hosts to provide many of the features that we talked about in the previous slide. We're actually leveraging, for the Nexus 1000V, we're actually leveraging an API that Cisco and VMware have co-developed to allow our switch to run in the place of VMware's own vSwitch inside of their hypervisor and provide the VNLink capabilities that we discussed on slide 8. So if we look at slide 10, we'll look at the architecture in a little bit more detail. So there are a couple of components to the Nexus 1000V. The first component is what we call a VSM, or a virtual supervisor module. The virtual supervisor module, if you're familiar with the other Cisco modular switching platforms, the virtual supervisor module is like a supervisor module in our Catalyst 6500 or our Nexus 7000. In that it is the brains or the management plane of the solution. Now the Nexus 1000V is a software based implementation. It does not have any specific hardware to mention. So this VSM or virtual supervisor module is a self contained instance of our NXOS operating system that runs as a virtual appliance or a virtual machine on a hypervisor enabled server in a customer's data center. And from this virtual supervisor module, customers perform management, monitoring, configuration, troubleshooting, debugging, et cetera, of the solution. And there's a tight integration that's been developed between our virtual supervisor module and VMware's virtual center tool or vCenter tool to allow for constant communication back and forth between the two devices so that we have awareness of the different ESX clusters that exist inside of a data center environment, as well as so that we can see and receive notifications and take action when a virtual machine is moved from one host to the next. If you jump to slide 11, we can talk about the second component of the Cisco Nexus 1000V architecture, which is what we refer to as a virtual Ethernet module, or a VEM. Now, the virtual Ethernet module is a hypervisor-specific piece of code that exists inside, in this case, exists inside of the VMware ESX hypervisor itself. This piece of code is it's logically similar to a line card, a physical line card in a Cisco modular switch like the Catalyst 6500 or Nexus 7000. But the difference is that this is a pure software implementation of that line card. This resides or runs as a piece of software inside of the ESX hypervisor, and it's responsible for providing and enabling advanced networking capability on the hypervisor itself. It provides each of the individual virtual machines with a dedicated switch port, if you will, and provides local switching and local feature capabilities inside of the individual host. And a collection of these virtual Ethernet modules, as you can see in the picture on slide 11, a collection of these virtual Ethernet modules is actually treated as one distributed switch across a number of hosts. And these different virtual Ethernet modules are managed as a collection of one logical modular switch across a collection of servers, and they're managed by the VSM or Virtual Supervisor module. Okay. And with this architecture, if you jump to slide 12, with this architecture, this is what allows us to support the VMLink capabilities and the software-based solution, as well as provide the policy-based virtual machine connectivity, the mobility of the network and security properties across these different servers in the cluster, as well as to enable for our customers a consistent IT operational model in their environments. Okay. And Omar, with that, I'll turn it back over to you to talk in a little bit more detail about our storage services.
Thanks, Paul. So if we move on to the next slide, which would be slide 13, we can talk a little bit about the storage side. So as I talked about before, we've actually had some of these services in place for a while, but for better or for worse, they've been buried within our storage messaging, so it hasn't necessarily been all that clear to server folks what we can do. So part of the effort with VMLink is to consolidate everything that Cisco does that's interesting to a server audience in one place that's easy for them to find. So what we look to do with the VMLink storage services is really do the same kind of thing. We're looking to deliver per VM level granularity for policy and storage services and those kinds of things. We're also looking to make sure we can support VM portability, so as VMs move, their storage services will track within. And at the same time, as we talked about before, we use things like troubleshooting, management, operational, maintaining clean operational boundaries, those sorts of things are also some of the things we strive to do. So, specifically, we talk primarily around a couple of key technologies for the VMLink storage services. One is NPV or NPIV technology, which allows us to start mapping services at a per VM level, and also something we call F-port channel trunking, which then allows us to take our vSAN technology you may be familiar with and also extend that down to a per VM level. So if you look at slide 14, we'll talk a little bit, at a high level about what we can do from a storage perspective. Now, the reason this is important, based on our research, we believe somewhere between 80 and 90% of all virtual machines are attached to some sort of network storage, whether it's a storage area network or iSCSI or NAS or, something along those lines. So, so our belief is part of, again, delivering something that's enterprise ready and a holistic solution is to make sure we address the storage side as much as we've addressed the network side. So there are a couple of things that we can deliver from the storage side we feel is important to the server administrator. Overall, if you look at our architecture, fabric scalability, fabric performance, we talked a little bit about 8 gigabit fiber channel availability. Overall, our MDS architecture lends itself to a very resilient, scalable, high-performance fabric, which is key as you're doing things like vMotion, moving these large files around, those sorts of things. From the troubleshooting and management side, one of the things that we can do that's interesting is actually we can provide VM-level granularity for troubleshooting, trending, quality of service, and those sorts of things. Which is very important as you're looking at IO intense workloads on infrastructure that's shared. It's important to be able to identify what particular VMs or what particular workloads are generating large amounts of IO so then we can start optimizing infrastructure, and optimizing how we handle those workloads versus ones that might have more moderate or more modest requirements. One of the things that our customers have traditionally used vSANs for is to provide isolation, whether it's for regulatory purposes or whether it's simply to isolate fault domains for troubleshooting, security, those kinds of things. So again, with that F4 channel trunking, we can take the vSAN concept and extend it down to the VM level. Finally, the last piece we can do is one of the things we've announced with the 8 gig fiber channel cards is line speed encryption on a per hop basis. So for data in motion, we now provide AES 128 encryption. Essentially, we're using the same methodologies that we've used in Cisco TrustSec, which is the same per hop encryption that we've announced for our Nexus line cards earlier this year. Same technology, same mechanisms. We use the same innovative management model using groups and membership and those sorts of things to simplify the management of the security and help close holes that might be opened up by inconsistent use of policy or inconsistent application of rules. So we're taking the exact same technologies and models and applying them on the storage side as well as the network side. So if we move to slide 15, quickly just want to go over the 8 gig fiber channel. So we have three options designed on helping customers balance price performance. The reason we've rolled this out is as much as customers are interested in 8 gig because of the aggregate I/O capability of the VM dense physical server, they're also telling us, it's nice to have, we need it for certain applications, but it's not a pervasive need yet. So with these three options that you can see at the bottom of the slide, really what we've done is help customers find that, give them a couple of different options to help balance price performance and feature functionality against what their actual needs are. The key here is we're providing significant investment protection. So all these line cards work with the existing NTS families. So there's no, if you need to support 8 gig fiber channel, slide in a module and you're good to go. You don't need new chassis, new backplanes, or any of these kinds of things. If you move to slide 16, something I talked about a little bit earlier, as part of this move, we've taken NXOS and moved it to the MBS. So as part of the announcement last week, we announced NXOS 4.1 for the MBS. So essentially, we've taken a single operating system, which ironically had its roots in SanOS, and made it pervasive throughout the entire data center. So we now have NXOS running on the Nexus 5000, the 7000, we now have it running on the MDS chassis and on the Nexus 1000. So network, storage, and server run a common code base. From our perspective, we believe this will simplify the data center environment. As Paul said earlier, we're bringing storage, network, and servers closer than ever together. So this allows us to more effectively manage it, deliver consistent features, functionality, simplify troubleshooting. And certainly in this brave new world of virtual resources and physical resources that are now starting to have some ambiguous or blurred roles in the data center, it's important to we believe it's important to have a common operating system that spans these different platforms. For those of you that are that follow the storage side of the business. This is an existing, we're drawing on the existing SanOS code base, so from a OSM certification perspective, they're viewing this as a branding exercise, so we're not going to have to go back and recertify NXOS 4.1 for our individual platforms. Now, switch to slide 17, talk a little bit about the professional services. We chatted about this a little bit earlier. The idea is to provide that code base that base of expertise for our customers to draw on. So, the big thing is it's a holistic offering from a customer perspective. They don't have to engage multiple subject matter experts or multiple organizations to try and get a big picture. We've really, working with VMware, we've really done the integration for them. So they have a single point of contact. There's no compromises. They're still working with best of breed consultants in terms of Cisco and VMware, which are market leaders in their respective spaces, But at the same time, you know, ensuring that we're working together, we're providing a collaborative request and doing a single set of information gathering, and they have a single point of contact to work with going forward and for asking questions and follow-up and those kinds of things. As I said, we view this as a seed in terms of professional services, and as things progress, we expect our channel partners to step in with a set of complementary services. So the idea is to really create this broad and rich set of services sourced from multiple locations that our customers can draw upon as they look to plan and implement a server virtualization and a data center virtualization strategy. If you touched on 18 a little bit earlier, so we're looking at doing a couple of things from a partner capability perspective. We're talking about extending DCNI with a virtualization focus, and also adding some sort of career certification. In the short term, we will be updating the e-learning that's available to them with virtualization-specific topics. So until we get some of these other things in place, they can still continue to build their bench strength. So finally, if you go to slide 19 to wrap things up a little bit, we talked about the challenges we see from the network supporting server virtualization. This is what we believe we've delivered with this launch. So if you look on the security and policy perspective, we have given you the ability to deliver VMware policy and security for network and for storage. So now we can go out there and we can have very finely grained control of how we deliver policy to a particular VM. And we've enabled the use of that policy to follow VMs as they move around the data center, and even eventually move across data centers. We feel those two really are critical and table stakes to move forward as a credible player in this space. In doing that, we've also given you the ability to start provisioning and managing and troubleshooting with VM level granularity. So we can now look at individual streams coming from a particular VM for troubleshooting or compliance or those sorts of things. Critical this, one of the things, if you look at what point that Paul covered, is a lot of what we delivered is automated. We've taken a lot of the manual piece out of this. It's not a lot of the server team having to call the storage team and the network team to get stuff done manually. Our belief is, this automated aspect is critical to any kind of credible, scalable solution. When we look at less than 10% of workloads being virtualized or physical servers being virtualized, it's okay. If it has a high manual component, it's probably manageable. If we look at 50 to 60% of workloads being virtualized or concurrently, if a lot of that, a lot of the change is being done dynamically and automatically by the underlying systems, things like DRS, then we really need the tools to be automated, and then we need a tight level of integration between the management domains on the network and the network side, the storage side, and the server side. Finally, from an organizational piece, and we think this is as critical as the first two pieces, although often not considered quite as sexy, we've established a better working model for the customer's organizational structure. And we've created a place for collaboration, right? So the port profiles that Paul talked about, those are really dependent on the server team, the storage team, and the network team sitting down and deciding, hey, how do we support a web server, or how do we maintain the SLAs for this line of business, or how do we maintain regulatory compliance, and sitting down and jointly figuring those things out. At the same time, from an operational perspective, from a day-to-day perspective, if a server team, if a server admin needs to bring up a VM in a hurry or add a server in a hurry, they have a high-level autonomy. All this stuff is automated at this point. So, if they need to bring up a VM or if they need to move a VM, they're not dependent on having to make a phone call and having someone else do things. We've given each team the autonomy. Similarly, from a network perspective or from a storage perspective, they've created these port profiles, so then they have a certain degree of surety that regardless of what the server team happens to be doing, it's still going to maintain compliance. It's still going to stay aligned with best practices and those kind of things. The final piece of this is we've done this and let everyone play with their existing tools. We're not asking folks to step out of their existing management and operations environments. So the server team continues to use Virtual Center. the storage team would continue to use Fabric Manager. The network team will continue to use the CLI or DCNM, or you know, essentially let them do, you know, address, use the operational model that they've used up to this point. So, you know, we're not adding complication to their day-to-day operations. So finally, slide 20 is kind of what I alluded to before. This is really the next step on our Data Center 3.0 roadmap. We announced this a little over a year ago. Server and storage networking, I think most folks are fairly familiar with. Unified Fabric is something that we've been talking about. We introduced with a 7,000. We, you know, we bought to reality with a 5,000. What we're finding is it's really starting to become critical when you start talking about things like, excuse me, DRS or vClouds or these sorts of things. You know, Unified Fabric is really starting to become one of those critical factors there. Because, you know, part of the reality of being able to effectively move VMs, you know, from location A to location B is they need to have the, you know, we need consistent and ubiquitous set of storage and network services across all the services in the data center. Now, the reality is a typical customer today, we ask them, you know, if you look at storage as an example, you know, their SAN attach rate is maybe 40%. And, you know, most of them express, yeah, we'd like to have more of our service SAN attached. But typically there's, you know, some infrastructure cost issue. There's no cable, there's no fiber channel ports, there's no fiber in place, they don't have budget for additional HBAs, those kinds of things. So the nice thing with Unified Fabric is an enabler for a lot of what we've talked about is the fact that, hey, once a server is network connected, it's automatically connected to all the targets in that data center. So, you know, by rolling out Unified Fabric, not only have you, you know, address a number of TCO issues in terms of pulling cost and infrastructure out of the data center. From a functional perspective, especially for server virtualization, you've delivered that consistent, ubiquitous set of storage and network services to really expand the scope and use of live migration or vMotion within that data center. So really the fourth pillar is what we've talked about today, is taking all these things, pulling them together, and starting to deliver them at VM level granularity. And you know, looking ahead, it's really starting to take this and extend it. You may have heard Jeff last week about some of the things that VMware has in mind with their virtual center, virtual data center OS, and no shortage of, you know, cloud computing type of initiatives. But you know, we really see this march towards virtualized data center and an automated policy driven data center really being a practical underpinnings to a lot of these different visions that are out there. So with that, I will hand things back to Amy.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Paul and Omar, for the presentation. Operator Nancy, at this time, I'd like you to open the floor for polling the audience for questions, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or if you wish to withdraw your question, press star followed by two. All questions must be submitted at this time in order for it to be registered. Questions will be taken in the order received. Please press star one to begin. We'll pause for a moment to compile a list. And there are no questions at this time.
Great. Well, thank you. So, Vince, since there are no questions from the audience at this time, I would like to ask two that I received in advance of the call. So, one is, can you tell me a little bit more about the pricing and availability for the solution?
Sure. I can grab that one. So, the solution actually will not ship until the first half of next calendar year, CY09. So, in terms of availability, that's the window as we get closer to the FCS of the product. We will get pricing and the like established.
Okay. And the second question is, what are the management options for the Nexus 1000?
So I can take that one. The Nexus 1000V can be managed in a fashion consistent with any other Cisco network device. So there are Cisco will provide its own GUI-based management tool, DCNM or Data Center Network Manager, which Cisco leverages to manage all of our Nexus, all the products in our Nexus portfolio. The Nexus 1000V specifically will also have a full XML API as well as support for SNMP read and write capabilities, so that it can be managed through third-party management tools.
Okay. Operator, would you do one last poll for questions before we close the call?
Once again, that is star one to ask a question. And there are no questions.
Okay. Well, we give you 5 minutes back to your day. And before I do that, I wanted to thank you, everyone, for joining the call. And thank you once again, Omar and Paul, for presenting to our analyst audience. As a last note, please note that we did send out a survey to you for this particular event. Please feel free to provide feedback so we can improve our speaker series. And also, if you have additional questions, any follow-up, please contact Ward Rosensky. His contact information is located on the last slide. And have a great day, everyone. And operator, please close the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for your participation in today's conference. This concludes the presentation. You may now disconnect. Good day.